Yeah, baby.
Brother, we've been hanging and banging, brother. We've been hanging and banging, brother.
What's going on, everybody?
You know who it is. And if you don't, you should tune in. We are the Gatekeepers. Oops, I started that over again.
My name is Billy.
And I am Dan. And for everything, tips, tools, tricks of the trade, everything and anything you will need to know regarding fencing, we got your back.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We got a special guest on the show today. Without giving too much away, it rhymes with FFWA.
Fencers with attitude, right?
Yeah. Fencers with attitude. We'll get into that for a little bit in a little bit here. And we'll get into a couple different things that we have going on first. And everything we will mention is already in the descriptions down below, whether you're watching on YouTube or on Facebook, or if you're listening to this after we are live on all of our streaming platforms with any of the podcasting platforms. It's all going to be in the description below if you do want to participate in anything that we discuss today. And without getting too ahead of ourselves, if you do need to find us, support us, or purchase any of these super rad 2024 limited edition mugs to start off the new year, we are going to be releasing some more of them in different styles and things like that. But this one is a limited one for the beginning of 2024. Any of that, T-shirts, just like these. What is going on with the background?
That was because I gave the double thumbs up.
That was good. I didn't know we could do that. It doesn't work with me.
How was your week, bro? How was your...
It is pretty solid, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good, man. Yeah.
Been chilling, working on a couple new things in the works, which don't want to jump the gun on it, but got a couple of things lined up, some vinyl jobs and other odds and ends and, you know, just good. Random stuff with having a... You know, fabrication and design. The and design is coming in clutch right now.
Nice, man. Nice, yeah. Man. Well, good for you. Good for you.
Yeah. But don't want to jump the gun on that because don't want to speak into the contract sign of like sealing a deal on it.
I hear
don't
that.
Don't jinx myself.
I hear that.
But if you do want to find us, though,
yeah, man, it's right there.
Podcast.com. There are links in the top for all of our video streaming. Our social media channels, the listen to for podcasting, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Google Podcasts.
Spotify. We're on all of them.
Every one of them.
I was looking at the list the other day and I was like, I didn't even know that like half these existed down at the bottom.
Yeah, I don't know what
like,
half of them are. But the, but hey, the we're hosting on them. Site, it allows us to post all of them. So that's super convenient.
We're on them, man.
How was your week, man?
It was pretty good, dude. I ran a couple quotes. I installed 102-foot of fence on Saturday.
That's a little easy banger.
Yeah. Nice. And then, you know, chilled, watched the national championship, watched the Huskies get they behind whoop last night. And then, you know, it was a sad national championship for the Huskies. I'll say that much. But then, went to work today, did some things and, now I'm here.
Yeah.
I do want to bring up a, topic that I was just notified about. Justin Seckinger of, Seckinger Fencing, which is based out of, Pensacola, Florida, which is where we are.
Yeah. Another local.
Yeah. He is my brother-in-law's best friend. He was just recently diagnosed with advanced colon cancer, and it's already spread to his liver and his lungs. So for anybody in the fence community, I don't normally do this or like any type of things, but if they do want to donate to Justin's cause, because this is going to be a long, hard-fought road, 100% of the proceeds will go to Justin and his family. And we can drop this link down here.
Yep. And it also is in the description there.
It's also in the description. And we're talking about, let's see, I'm 36. I'm saying Justin's 34. So we're not talking about like a 60-year-old. Yeah. Like we're talking about a young man in his prime. And it'd be real great if the fence community would band together a dollar here, a dollar there. Man, it goes a long ways.
Yeah. And but, we've always had, we all have each other's backs, whether it be sharing knowledge, sharing information, sharing new, what we do, tips, tricks, tools, whatever. This is one thing where his family could really use that support, because these things, especially coming up at a, like, you know, the blue at such a young age, it's a hard thing. And any bit that you can do to help him and his family get through this and help them out with everything is definitely appreciated. And
absolutely.
Yeah. It's the absolutely. Link is right there.
And like I said, 100% of the proceeds go to him and his family. It's not like a GoFundMe account. This is through his church, which he is very active in. So it's all going to go to him and helping with everything that comes along with it. Cause you know, at the end of the day, like, he's an owner operator, like a lot of the fence guys here. And, even if you don't donate them, just keep them in your thoughts, guys.
Keep them in your thoughts, keep them in your prayers. Just we're rooting for you, man.
Heck yeah, man.
Everything works its way out.
There's you. So without further ado, let's go ahead and bring our guest on, which is tonight Mr. Brian T. Frederickson, owner of Las Vegas Fence, founder of the FWA.
The man, the myth, the legend.
How we doing, Mr. Brian?
I think you're on mute, Brian. Brian, you're on mute.
You're no.
Is he muted him?
There we go.
He's muted on his side.
Okay, you're muted, Brian.
Better? Oh, there we go.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, buddy. welcome to the show. We are honored to have you. A little bit of a big deal. You know, just a tad bit.
Really. Yeah, I'm the guy that cleans the bathrooms around here. So that guy. You know, if you need some toilet paper or something, I'm your guy.
Nice, there we go. Nice, man.
There we go.
Hey, we could have used you back in 2020.
I know. Right?
That's true, right?
Right.
So for the viewers who don't know, Ms. Brian, you want to explain kind of who you are in the fence community?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm the owner of Las Vegas Fence, first and foremost, probably. That's my daily job. And then I founded Fence Workers Association. And, of course, that just kind of grew from there, kind of like you guys. Your show took off pretty quick. We took off pretty quick. So next thing you know, a couple years later, we're probably one of the larger fence trade associations in the country now. And thanks to everybody that kind of jumped on board and supported us. So we couldn't be any more grateful for that. And then just from there, it just kind of grew. We ended up doing our own trade show. And kind of listen to the not just the members, because, you know, obviously this industry is a lot larger than just our member base. It's, you know, the actual fence guys and the fence gals and guys that are out there on the gate and the fence side of it. And then it goes even into our suppliers and our manufacturers. There's a lot of people that we have in our industry that probably just needed a little bit of a more of a voice. And I think that's where we stepped in, made people feel comfortable enough to come out and speak up for what they wanted.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Well,
that is awesome. And I know we've talked about the FWA previously on other episodes. And
yeah.
Both of us are members.
Yeah. Yeah. I got my membership card right in my wallet, baby.
There are a lot of benefits, which we'll touch on a little bit later. We got a couple things to pick your brain about, sir. You want to get it started?
I mean, first and foremost, I haven't heard your story. What brought you into the fence industry, and how long have you been in it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I grew up in it. I think I learned to drive a fence truck on a job site at a moose research center in Alaska. So that's how I learned to drive, you know, I grew up a little more old school probably than some of the fencers nowadays that work for me, where, you know, when I made a mistake, I'd get a pair of fence pliers in the back of my leg and you didn't do it again. You know, I think I remember the first lesson I learned on a job site as a kid. I was just kind of down there messing around next to the truck, doing something with one of the tires, and a piece of pipe rolled off and hit me in the head, knocked me on the ground. And I remember my uncle standing on the end of the truck because he was up there shoveling. Back then we would just, you know, we had sand and gravel and he was shoving two loads of gravel in there, one cement, and mixing it up, you know, off the side of the truck, and a piece of pipe hit me. I remember him walking over the edge and he goes, "Man, you sure were lucky." I'm like, lucky? What are you talking about? He goes, you're lucky that wasn't a piece of full weight. That would have killed you. And I'm like, that was the kind of, that is how I grew up. And I, you know, I remember putting bolts, you know, nuts and bolts together. Remember they come in, they still do come in the, you know, 100 nuts and 100 bolts in a box.
Yeah.
I remember getting paid like 25 cents a box to put those things together, you know, and then pack them back up in the box. So it goes back that far. My family, and I think that's how a lot of us started. But yeah, and then, you know, every time you try to leave, like a lot of us, we try to leave this. We kind of say, oh, I'm getting out of this. It just it sucks us back in. Every time I leave the fence industry, I end up sleeping in my car at the park. You know,
it's just, that doesn't sound like a good place to sleep.
No. Yeah, shower with the homeless people. So I'm like, man, I'm in it. There's nothing I can do about it. I like it or don't like it, I'm a fencer. It just gets in your blood, and it's just where we succeed, you know, and it's what we're good at. So, I think I took off when I was about 18, 19. I was living in a trailer in my grandma's driveway. I don't think I've ever told anybody this, but I was living in one of those campers that fits in the back of a pickup truck, but I didn't have a pickup truck. I just had the camper. So I was sitting in my grandma's driveway. And I remember it was like the day before Christmas. I told my family, and you know, we had one of those families where nobody really had much. Everybody kind of just shared. Yeah. So, but we always had fencing. That's what we always kind of survived on. And I just told everybody the day before Christmas that I'm taking off. And I had a little Toyota truck, but not enough for the carry that camper, obviously, but a little Toyota truck. And I just took off, and Vegas was as far as I made it before I ran out of pretty much money. And that's just where I landed. And that's my
what
story.
What a place to run out of money.
It's a lonely town when you got no money.
I can only imagine what a place to just come with nothing but what you have on your back. I mean, that's awesome, man. I love to hear that.
Never went back. And that just kind of started it all. That was a while back, 20 some years ago.
Heck yeah, man. Well, okay. So what does a normal day in the life of Las Vegas fence look like?
Well, we have two offices, one obviously for the stuff we're doing for the stuff for FWA and then ours. So I guess I kind of start off over at the Las Vegas fence, and we start about 7 in the morning. So our crews, it depends on the time. We probably in the summertime, we go a little bit earlier just because of the heat. But typically I'd say our average start time throughout the year would be 7, and then we bump it to 6 or 5 sometimes. And that's only because we do a lot of work at the hotels and things like that. So even if we wanted to start earlier, you can't make noise at a lot of the places where we work. So whether it's hot or it doesn't really matter, you can't start till 8. So you're kind of stuck with it. So I guess then we get the trucks, you know, get the trucks loaded up. And then luckily I'm fortunate enough to where I have a pretty good staff that helps get the trucks out. And I don't really have as much communication with the crews as probably did in the beginning. That's kind of how that whole day starts. And then after that, we got to, you know, someone else runs around doing sales calls, and, you know, we just put out fires like everybody else.
There we go.
You know, just waiting for something to happen. No, what about you guys?
Oh man, it's about the same thing. We show up 7 a.m. Pretty much regardless, heat or cold, and, you know, get everything loaded. If it's not loaded the night before, if we got there at a decent hour, you know, like things get loaded that night, but if not, they get loaded after we get there. We run down what we got to run down, and it's off the job site after that.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, like there's a game plan for everything. And if we're in the middle of a job, it's basically just show up, get in the truck and go. Like at that point, you know, I mean, there's nothing really left to load up because everything's already out there. That's pretty much a day in the life here at Gentry Farmhouse. You know, it's just kind of like if we have a brand new job that we're starting, we'll go and get the paperwork and pull everything that we need to pull, get it loaded, get it strapped, and then roll out to the job site.
Loaded and rolling.
Yes, sir.
It's pretty consistent across the companies. We all just get up and go build fence.
It's
just hopefully it's a day when all of our guys showed up and we don't have to do it.
Right. I hear that. So once you had Las Vegas fence established and running like a completely well-oiled machine, what was your biggest driving force for starting the FWA, taking on a whole nother 9-to-5 after 9-to-5 job?
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to see if I could do it. So now that I've done it, this is probably the last interview I'm doing, and we're just done with it. But yeah, you know, it was, I just felt that you know, I felt like our industry kind of staled out a little bit, and it wasn't going in the direction I wanted to go. And I felt there was a lot of movement towards government stuff and things like that that I wasn't happy with. And the problem is, if there wasn't enough voices all the way around, it was just going to happen. You know, it was going to go one direction, whether I liked it or not. So I was always pretty active in my, I was a member of the Southern Nevada International Code Council here in Nevada, and the building department, and helping get admin laws, you know, the codes and stuff, making it so we could actually work better and not be as restricted and be able to, you know, turn a profit at our company. So I'm a firm believer that you can't sit here and complain about it if you're not going to actually go up and have a voice and do something about it. And just because something turns into a law, it doesn't mean in this country you can't say, I don't like that law. I'm going to get some people behind us, and I'm going to rewrite it, or I'm going to change it. I'm going to have them reverse it and put something else new in. So it's what's great about this country is we could get involved as you want, or, you know, stay out and let everybody else do it for you. So that kind of drove me to say, we need more representation for the fence companies all the way down to the guy that's just starting out, you know. And I think that's where I kind of step in and said, I relate to that more, you know, because of my struggles and because of how I started off. I remember I was that guy, you know, that was, you know, with a wheelbarrow and a postal digger saying, I want to start a fence company.
Absolutely. Whether
if I let everybody push me out, just like we try to do with some of the other guys, we start calling me names, calling me trunk slammers, calling me one truck chucks, calling me, well, guess what? I was me. So, you know, and I don't think the industry would be better off if I wasn't in it now. So, you know, if they would have pushed us out, or in better off if all these other guys aren't in it. So I think that I just enjoy this part of it too. I, you know, and getting the resources, and I was the guy that didn't have health insurance. I was, you know, so I want, you know, the FWA health was important to me. I, you know, and had we got the checkups, we had some family medical stuff, you know, in our family that would have been prevented had we done our checkups, had we done that kind of stuff. So, and the investment stuff, I wish I could go back to being 22, 23 and set up some sort of retirement plan and, you know, things like that. So I was the guy, I made every mistake that you could possibly make. I mean, I've started my fence company over 3 times, you know, it's just what we do.
Right. Right.
Learn from those and you grow and create almost like a game plan from what I'm getting for it for future people in our industry.
Yeah.
And education. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. We need more access to resources, more access for not everybody can fly around the country and go places. Some guys can, you know, the only time they get off is at 7 o'clock at night when they go home, and maybe they have an hour or two that they can dedicate to something, but not all of us can take a week off and go anywhere.
Oh, it's no, absolutely. I mean, even at this point, I can't take a week off. Like it's just not doable. I mean,
it's not easy by any means for just a couple of days off, let alone like a whole week or anything else. It's
luckily times have changed.
Yeah.
So we have access to get information out that we couldn't, different ways that we couldn't do 10 years ago. So luckily all that stuff we're talking about can be done now that wasn't able to be done 10 years ago. Somebody has to push to make sure it happens.
And speaking of this stuff, like you've done a lot. How did you manage to even do this? Like, cause for me, it's like, it's a really hard thing to grasp. Like this guy created a fence company and it did good and it's still doing good and everything. But then he started a whole organization that also offers like healthcare to people whose jobs don't do that, or discounted healthcare, however you want to word it. But how do you even get into that? How do you get those resources? How did you manage to even make this happen? Because it's, almost unfathomable of like, this is a big thing you've done. And it's like, you kind of nonchalantly talk about it. Like, oh yeah, just, you know, it's regular Tuesday. Yeah. I figured I could do it. Like,
it's a lot of time. I mean, it's a dedication you put in. I'm too far in now, so I got to keep going. So that's obviously, you know, at this point I got a lot. It feels like there's a lot of people that are counting on us to make this work and continue on and do it. So the support from everybody else gives me the energy to keep going. If I didn't have all that, if I didn't have all the comments and all the people saying stuff and views and the messages and people saying, hey, I use the healthcare. I mean, I'm not insane. I know that $60, $80, $100 health insurance is not as good as a $600, $800 health insurance, but it's a starting point. It's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing.
It's definitely better than nothing. Yeah.
I missed it by like 4 days on this last year. And like, after I looked at it, I was like, man, that is really, really good stuff.
You can still get it. So you could still go on there and, and sign up. It's just, it might be a month or two before it's active. So I would definitely check it out. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go in there and check it out tomorrow then.
It's just FWAhealth.com.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it's definitely worth it. But, and it was created, a lot of this stuff you see was created, because it was stuff I needed.
Yeah.
And, you know, and basically I'm just putting out the resources that I needed that I felt weren't out there. And yeah, so they gave me the energy to do that. My wife was really supportive and, you know, of this stuff as well. And luckily I had Las Vegas Fence kind of running itself, you know, to a degree. And, you know, we self-funded this thing, obviously. But if you were to take all the office staff and all the time and the effort and the money, you know, that goes in to do this and all the resources that we put into it, it loses money probably. But, you know, the trade show, hopefully when that picks up, that'll help cover stuff and things like that, you know, and then give us even more, you know, more resources to do other stuff. So I think that, we enjoy it. You know, we enjoy getting there's like a fly flying around. I don't know where it came from, but, we enjoy doing what we're doing. We enjoy the trade shows and going around and getting to meet people that we never would have got to meet with before if it wasn't for this. So it's been fun.
Nice.
Definitely sounds like a fun process of, you know, go, 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 but like following your passion for everything.
And,
I could tell you like, personally, when you do follow your passions and everything like that, it does, nothing feels like work at that point. It's like, this is just fun. It's like, how much further can we take this? How much further can we go? Yeah. And just, you know, following that dream.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Once you get engulfed in something, or I know me, it's just, that's all I want to do. It's all I want to think about. It's all I want to look at on my phone, my iPad. Yeah. It's like, I don't care whether it be fences, fishing, trucks, like I'm the same way with everything. Like if I get into something, you can guarantee you're going to see me scrolling on my phone about it.
All day long.
Yep. So just
researching, learning, taking in new stuff. It's your passion takes over.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
A lot of researching, a lot of social media time. Yep. It's a lot. Yeah, it is. It gets a bit obsessive. Yeah. And then we fail at 8 out of 10 things that we try to bring to the market or try to bring as a resource out and stuff like that. Most of it fails. I mean, I can't tell you, I'd say 75% of the websites I ever started up for this stuff are gone. because it just didn't work. I could literally spend $5,000 developing some platform that I think everybody's going to love and everybody needs, and like 3 people use it. And then I go on and I create something in like 30 minutes and there's like 3,000 people using it. And I'm like, oh man, you just don't know.
Isn't it funny how things work out like that?
You never know what's going to work until it works.
It's like, hey, my little 30-second idea attracted 5 million people, but my like well thought out plan that I've been working on for a year is like everybody's like,
partners, partners and a couple guys in India developing it. Invested everything into it. And there's like 3 people using it. And I'm like, what the hell's going on?
What's going on,
man?
Yep. Oh man.
But, all right, so we're going to go ahead and drop all of your social medias for Las Vegas Fence, Fence Workers Association, all of that stuff.
Got the Facebook down here.
So there is the Facebook address.
Facebook.com/FenceWorkersAssociation Association. Pretty simple. And then the fenceworkers.org for the main website. And if you want to join the FWA, it is free. Join FWA.com. While we're on that topic of joining the FWA, what benefits does one get from joining it for the people not knowing?
Well, you get a fancy little card in the mail that,
and some stickers too,
which is kind of like, get some stickers. Yeah. If we got any other merchandise going on at the time. I mean, you probably get more on the newsletter stuff. We try to do a little bit. We're pretty interactive as much as we can be, but, there's some discounts at Boot Barn. And I know some of that gets capped from Boot Barn. It gets tagged really quick, man. People are all over that. But there's some discounts. I think it's 15% at Boot Barn. You'll get noticed that. The FWA Health, obviously, is a big perk. If you don't have any health insurance, it goes. And if you'll instantly get a link to over to our benefits page. And we're constantly working on that, trying to throw stuff into there. You get some free pass, obviously, to the show, the Fence Show and Security Expo. And then we've got the security show that's going to be coming up. So you'll be kind of lumped into that. You'll just be kind of more in the know, and you're just supporting us, you know, in general. And, you know, all of that is what gives us the power, but it gives us the influence to be able to do things and say, hey, you know what? When we are talking to people, we're trying to get you guys more benefits for whether it be from ADP, whether it be from Boot Barn, whether, you know, home, the Lowe's, we've got Lowe's, the Lowe's discounts, the kind of relationships we built with them. When we go to them and we say, hey, we probably have more members than any other fence association in the country right now. So that's the kind of information that we use when we go to the places looking for resources. So it is a big deal, you know, to have the member base. And that's why, you know, we push so hard for you to go. And if it is free to go on there, go on. I mean, you can also upgrade. It supports us.
Free, it's for me, man.
Yeah. And you get a little bit more exposure. We got some sponsor members on there and stuff as well. And then a lot of people, we've kind of launched the ambassador program. If you saw that, we're going through, we've got a ton of people that have applied to be ambassadors. You could be a home state ambassador.
I did.
Did you? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
so we're reviewing that stuff as quick as we can. And then getting back to people, kind of getting their opinion on, you know, what they, you know, what they'd be willing to invest on for that, for their time, and making sure we're finding the right fits. But, and then also health, you know, health ambassadors, education ambassadors, because the fence university is growing really quick. We're going to be doing, monthly, you're going to be able to get certified every month in whether it be for gate operators and things like that as well. So, there's a lot that we're working on in the back that's getting launched. If you go to fenceuniversity.com, you can kind of see what we've lined out for that as well. And then we're going to be issuing certificates for that. So you can get certified in gate openers, quick start, advanced testing equipment. There's a lot of guys out there that are installing gate operators and access controls, but they don't realize there's a lot of equipment. You might be able to buy a $30 piece of equipment, an advanced piece of, you know, testing equipment. And we're training people on how to use that stuff to troubleshoot quicker. So you may be able to get it in and out of something a little bit quicker. We're looking at access control, quick start, access control, advanced. Yeah. So all of this kind of stuff, right down to, if you want to, you know, if you want to get into overhead door stuff, we're going to try to get stuff like that going. Cause maybe in the wintertime you can pick up service calls and do gate operator service calls. Cause you know, in the wintertime, a lot of issues happen with the loops in the ground, things like this. And it doesn't, you know, maybe there's no fences being built, but they're still maintaining those gates and operators. Yeah. So how do we get guys? So they're, I keep saying guys, but guys and girls, you know what I mean? But how do we get,
yeah.
I don't know, aliens, whatever we want, whatever we're supposed to call them now. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, we got to get, you know, maybe it's a way to get some funds and some money to come in during the off season and stuff like that. You just love it. Maybe you just enjoy it. I mean, we're going to be doing a shift. We've always done a lot of gate operators and access controls at Las Vegas Fence. It's my background as well. So I think we'll be doing a lot more shifting over there, gating off complexes and communities, and then doing service calls. So maybe you'll just enjoy it and say, I want to do more access controls and gate operators instead of fence, or vice versa. We're going to take some of the gate guys and teach them how to do some fence.
Yeah. I have background in electronics and robotics and things like that. I was captain of robotics team in high school, and just naturally electronics comes I just soak it up. I just understand it very easily. And then having that, like, you know, resource to learn it. If I would have known about it when I had the job that I had taken over, which was kind of troubleshooting this pain in the butt automated gate. Big old aluminum fence, double gate operator. First off, found off that the motherboard was defective, which was like the first issue, because we're sitting here trying to figure out, like, what did we do wrong with this and that, whatever. The control board was bad. And it wasn't sending proper signals and receiving proper signals from the second port. The first port worked fine. I was like, let me just switch these. Does it work now? Nope. Now one is having the problem and two is working fine. It's like, okay, this is wrong. And then it turned out that because the house was still being built, it didn't have like a steady power supply. It was running off this like
extension cord,
weird, sketchy power outlet with a breaker box with an extension cord running to it, because they didn't have an actual house there yet. Like they had just bought like 4 acres of land, and they're like, oh, we're having our house built on this property and we want to get the fence first and yada, yada, yada. And the power supply it was coming from was like this weird janky thing that they had set up when we got there. And it was like, it worked for all of our tools. It worked for everything kind of temporarily, but then thunderstorm hits, it drops power and kills the batteries die, and then all of a sudden everything starts acting wonky. And it was just it kept frying things, it kept damaging stuff, and we're like, oh, well, that's the issue. Here we are. And the finding, the troubleshooting of it was generally just fun for me. But not to get off topic on everything, wanted to touch back to previous conversation with Justin. He is watching. Appreciate you, bud.
Thanks, man.
Second Gear Fencing, if you guys do want to donate to him and his family, the link is in the description down below. I can't put it on and leave that up. So, but we definitely are here for you. We're all rooting for you. We're all making sure you want to. Or, you know, making sure
keep building them fences, baby.
Keep building them fences. That's it.
That's it, baby.
And then we also have another comment from Mr. Zach Romero. Brian's energy is infectious, and it's causing all of us to get involved.
It really is.
Yes, it truly is. And just in the first,
He's our vinyl fence ambassador, by the way.
Yeah, oh, man. Awesome. He's got got some cool stuff at Blackline Vinyl.
Yeah.
Man,
I have to check that cool out. Stuff. I'm still getting the who's who and what's what of names, putting faces to names and names to faces.
I got you.
I do fabrication work, and I'm kind of newer to the who's who and what's what of a lot of things.
I hijacked his last trip to California. I just saw him post something at like 2-3 in the morning. He's like, hey, I'm going to, it was like one of those, you know, with a travel thing, traveling to Anaheim, California or something Washington or Oregon, traveling and going to some landscape convention. So I was in Las Vegas. So I didn't even say anything because he was already in the air or something. So I just jumped in my truck and drove the 4.5 hours. And I called him, where you at? Where are you at?
That's hilarious.
That's funny.
That's hilarious. I got to
spend the day with him. Yeah.
Heck yeah. All right. So let's talk gate safety and like a little bit about what all is this fuss about? Like, I kind of skim through some of the stuff. I kind of don't, because I'm going to be honest, I'm not a gate automation guy, not a big, huge gate builder, like for big giant gates or anything, you know, I mean, most of our stuff is residential. So I am kind of curious because it's not exactly our forte. So I haven't like dove deep into the topic. I kind of know the basic ins and outs of it, but
let me take a drink of water for this one.
Get prepared.
Well, you know, honestly, it's not uncommon for somebody to say it, you know, I don't really follow it because it doesn't pertain to me. And you're right. It doesn't pertain to you until it does, you know. And
oh no, we lost him.
Are you there? Do you lose me or I lost you? It looked like it froze.
I don't know which one
froze up. So we're back. Hold on, Dave. We're back though.
Look at it like this. You know, when you got a general contractor and you're doing a job for him and he sends you, you know, it's a normal job, right? And he sends you this contract that's this thick, right? And you say, well, I don't like this line item over here. It says something you don't like in the contract terms. And he says, well, don't worry about that. That doesn't pertain to you. Right. And I always say, well, it doesn't pertain to me. Then you don't mind if I just redline it. Whoa, you can't redline it, though. But if it doesn't pertain to me, it basically means it doesn't pertain to you until it does, until there's a problem. And then they refer to page 13, paragraph 6. And you're like, I thought that didn't pertain to me. And that's kind of similar to this. With the gate safety stuff, if you're not doing automatic gates and things like that, those UL325 and the ASTM laws that pertain to the automatic gates. But what happens is, once it becomes a law, the building departments and the cities and if they start enacting those once you start getting the building departments and the licensing agencies and all that, the average person that's doing your inspections, the average person that works in these buildings, they don't know the difference.
Cut out again, buddy.
Are we frozen or is it the other one?
I'm not quite sure which one's the. We're refreshing.
Oh, okay.
I got a pretty good signal.
There we go.
Can you hear me? Yeah. So the average person that's doing these at the building departments and stuff, they don't know the difference between a gate and a fence. So the problem we come across is you can't create gate laws that aren't going to affect fence. And that's because I don't know how many times, have you ever had a customer call up and say, I want to put a gate around my yard or I want to put a fence on the side of my house? And you're like, do you mean a fence or a gate? Yeah, because but keep in mind, those people, those customers that say that, those are the same people that get jobs at the building department. They aren't fence and gate people working at the building departments. These are average people. So if they don't know the difference between a gate and a fence, and you create a gate law, how's that not going to flow over into fence? The only way they can regulate that is to regulate fence companies along with gates. So we are involved in all of that stuff. So we have to stay active whenever there's laws and regulations that are going to come into play that have anything to do with gates or fence, because it does. You can't say only automatic gates require permits, because they don't understand. They just hear the word gate, and all it does is that, and then when a code enforcement guy walks out and writes up a property because you didn't build a gate per the standard that was designed for an automatic gate, and he writes it up, right? And he writes up this code enforcement. You just spent the entire week, put everything you have into this job. This customer owes you $10,000, whatever it is, right? And you're hoping on Monday you're going to get a check, and instead this code enforcement guy writes it up. And she gets a code enforcement violation, and you think that customer is going to pay you? They don't care if you're right or wrong. Now you have two options. You can get this code enforcement guy to admit he's wrong. Okay.
Good luck.
That's why I paused. Okay. Or you can comply. Right. Yeah. Those are your two options. He has to admit he's wrong. Or you can comply, because nobody at the building department is going to override this guy. They're going to say you have to clear it up with him. Right. So you are stuck with either complying. And the problem is, this customer now hasn't paid you. You've invested all your money into these projects, and you're dealing with a regulation or a standard that had nothing to do with you. Right. But you have to prove that somehow. And how are you going to prove that and still survive waiting to get? So that's the kind of stuff where I tell people, you have to, you know, it does affect us. You have to get involved in it. And the problem is, what if you've never seen this? What if you've never seen this standard? You've never seen these laws, you know, how you're supposed to be building it. You may have left off just a chain that needed to be welded across the gate. Now you've just spent $5,000 powder coating this gate and this post, right? And now you're going to go out there and weld on something and break the powder coating. And what is this customer going to do?
Shave it all.
I want it all repowder coated. Yeah. Because you can, right? So you may now, thinking you're getting $10,000, you got to spend another $5,000 to get this thing up to make this code enforcement guy happy. All of this because a standard came into play that you weren't privy to. And these are being done, you know, if any change they make to an ASTM standard becomes instant law in your state, that means this committee has total control, right, of how fences are being built in your area. So another good example is, and that's why I'm going to just give you an idea of how this pertains to all of us. Another good example is, you know how somebody says, hey, I want to set posts and I'm going to mix concrete, or I'm going to drive posts, or I found a better way. I'm going to put something, I'm going to come up with a new way to build fence, right? Yeah. And it's quicker and better. And they say, and we don't have these building departments, we don't have these issues. Well, guess what? You can't do that in Nevada. I don't care if you have a better way of doing it. If you stray beyond the way that the standard and that everything's been in there, you won't get paid. You're going to get wrote up, and you just don't have the options to innovate. You don't have the options to come up with new ways and better ways. And to build. Even if it's a better way, they won't let you do it. So everybody that has that freedom to say, hey, we're going to figure out a way to trim 15 minutes off every 50 feet of fence, and at the end of the day, you're going to make more money. That goes out the window when you start getting the laws and regulations and stuff involved. So you have to stay. You can't create gate laws that don't affect fence. You can't create fence that don't affect gates. So it does. You are on the hook for all that stuff. That's my two cents on it. That's why I stay so active in it.
Yeah. No, knowing that, like,
and that makes total sense.
That makes 100% sense. And it's absolutely wild, especially coming from somebody who myself, my specialty is welding, fabrication, right, things like that. I'm making the gates that people are putting automators to. I'm making the gates that are opening and closing without automators. And it's definitely something that I was not quite privy to of how severe it was with everything. Because at the end of the day, my two cents, it should be, is there electric involved? Yes or no. And then two laws.
Right.
Because that just, if I'm going to click a latch and open a gate, I shouldn't have an inspector wondering if it's up to the same standards that if I click a button and the gate opens on its own.
Right.
And it's one of those things that it should have, you know, a lot more knowledge I personally will admit 100%. I was unknowledge to all this right. that was going yeah. on, like kind of right beneath my feet in the whole yeah. thing. I'm like, what's all this hubbub about? Like, oh, people are freaking out about this and freaking out about that. I'm like, bro, it's no big deal. Like,
yeah,
chill
yeah.
out. Until it chill is. Out. Yeah, it's cool, it is, right? man. Calm down. And then,
it's
like,
no big deal until you're waiting on a check and the customer won't
exactly.
pay you because some code enforcement guy wrote her up. And you got to be careful who we align with. I mean, we have to remember, and there's nothing wrong. We have to remember consumer protection groups, you know, and the government. They're all designed to protect the public from you and I. That's yeah. it. They are designed for that. So when we start making alliances with, and nobody wants anybody to get hurt. Nobody wants kids to get hurt or any accidents on the job. But obviously. we also have to look out for the best interest of our industry and our fence companies and the people out there working. So when we start making alliances, you know, as associations, and especially when you get, say you get someone like me that has, you know, one of the larger associations, and I start making alliances with public consumer protection groups and use in working together to create laws and stuff, that public consumer protection group doesn't have our best interest. They don't care if our industry burns down. They just are trying to create stuff that's going to protect the consumers from us. So we have to be real careful who we partner with and who we align with. And it may make us feel good. It may make me feel good. Like I'm doing something on a personal level, go support those things. But as an association and as somebody that's supposed to be, you know, looking out for the best interest of our industry as a whole, it's irresponsible of me to take my personal feelings and say, I'm going to go support all these, you know, public consumer protection groups and use the power of being one of the leaders in our industry to do that and help them push their agendas. You know, as much as their agendas are correct for the society, yeah. you know, it's a hard balance, man. You run a hard line because, you know, yeah. in one way you want to scream and yell with them. But at the same time, that's not why people are joining our associations. They're joining our associations so that we, you know, we can go out there and fight to make their businesses stronger, not,
yeah.
you know, help yeah. the other
and
side.
And if you're at the end of the day, if you're doing things right, you're doing things right. If you're doing things right. wrong, you're doing things wrong. And here and there are mishaps and everything. But at the same time, it's, you know what you're doing. You know, yep. if this is going to have a problem X amount of time down the road. And you know if it's done right, and it's going to be done right, and we're not going to have those problems. And unfortunately, when you have somebody that hasn't ever, you know, built a fence or knows anything about building fences, trying to regulate how we should do our jobs, you get people that don't necessarily know what works and what doesn't. Like, right. as you've said, you've been doing this since, like, you grew up in the industry, if you will.
Right.
Since you were a little young buck, if you will.
Yep.
And I think you know a thing or two of what you're doing and what's going to work and what's not going to work, because you've probably seen it from your childhood. Like you said, teenager, built a fence as a teenager. I know if it's still standing or not. I know if there's right. problems with it now or not, et cetera.
Right.
And that segues right into my next question. You kind of hinted on it earlier. Are there any plans for on-site training events for the FWA University?
Yep. We're actually going to have a permanent location here in Las Vegas for one, which will be like the hub and the home kind of base of it, because I'm happy to be here. But so we'll have a training facility, kind of a room and stuff here set up along with that for the gate automation stuff. And then we're going to be rolling out around the country to kind of bring it out. And then also having some more lives. So starting every month, we'll have like a 5-day session. So it'll be two days on one subject, like I think March, we're trying to do a February thing. I don't think I don't know 100% February stuff's going to happen, but March, we'll have like a 2-day session that'll be gate operator quick start and then advanced test equipment for 2 days. And then that fifth day should be a live session where everybody online can come, and we're going to kind of do pick one of those, and we'll be doing like the gate, probably the automatic gate opener quick start. And then you'll be able to actually communicate with the instructor and stuff as well and ask questions and be more.
And that's Michael Brooks, right?
It'll be, yeah, Michael Brooks, Keith Pace. There's a couple other people that are getting, jumping on board and getting involved on that. And some of it'll be manufacturers. Hopefully they get a little bit more involved too. So we will do some, you know, get some of those people involved to where you can actually do some training on that. And we're hoping to have a pretty strong facility to do that live stuff along with, in person here, and then being able to go out a little bit further out and move. We're kind of working our way out after we build a good model that works. And,
what about all of the like disciplines like chain link, final aluminum, wrought iron, yeah. wood, stuff like that? Are those plans in the works too? Like to have like on site training.
Looks like May is the first one for actual that kind of stuff, which would be chain link. June is iron. July is wood. August is aluminum. We're going to do a lot of this stuff. Yeah. So funny you would ask. I've already got this up
right now. Nice.
September, obviously at our show in September, we've got like 20 acres outside we're working with. So we're hoping to have everything. My goal is to have something like trained, somehow have some sort of issue 500 to 1,000 certificates in that week period. Nice. Where there's something for everybody, something that hasn't been done on that scale, and just really, really, you know, really have it interactive and stuff as well. Have some concrete slab to be able to install some operators. You know, I'll probably bankrupt myself doing it, but you know, it's going to be big. I'm either going to go big or go home, you know, but that's the goal. So I think you're going to really appreciate that. So yeah, to answer your question, yes, as we get more and more of our ambassadors on board and then our education side set up, because I'll be honest, I don't know much about wood and vinyl. I mean, literally, you could give me 10,000 feet of 12-foot tall chain link or a backstop and you know, security iron. Give me 10,000 feet of that, no problem. Give me 50 feet of vinyl fence in some lady's backyard, I will screw that up for a week. No doubt. I will lose $10,000 on it when I'm done. You know? And the customer will end up filing a complaint. It'll just be a disaster. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
To that aspect, I noticed that you said earlier something about hotels and things like that. I'm assuming most of your stuff in Las Vegas, are you doing most predominantly like commercial work or?
Yeah, we do very little residential. And when we do, we instantly regret it. It's literally all, I mean, I don't know what it is. I really don't know. Maybe it's because we've
done it. It's Mrs. Jones's snake dog.
I'm telling you, we do commercial all the time. We don't get any complaints. And I get a residential one. I can never get out of there. It's just like, it just goes on and on and on. So we mainly, yeah, to answer your question, we probably do maybe one residential job a year and the rest is all commercial. And when I say commercial industrial, I don't mean like general contractor work, because we do very little general contractor work. If we don't shake the hand of the guy or the company that we're paying, you know, that's paying us, or we don't get our deposits, even things like that, we don't do it. And goes back to the regulations and the standards. Remember the stuff I said that people say doesn't affect us? Mm-hmm. In October, they passed a law here on residential. You can't collect more than 10% down. So,
oh, wow.
Not only are they, and that's spreading. That's what they want to spread. So imagine if you wake up tomorrow and you can't collect more than 10% down on your biggest pain in the butt customers. You know what I mean? Oh. And they have 90% of your money and they're holding you over the barrel. I mean, what can you do? You can't walk away ever, right? Because they have all your money. So that's the stuff. California is 10% down as well. And it moved to Nevada. And then, you know, if we're not careful, if we don't get involved, we don't, you know, they don't know how to stop. The legislators and the lawmakers, they don't stop.
Without getting too deep into politics, whatever California does, Maryland follows. All right. No, I'm being serious because I used to live in Maryland.
You know,
okay. All right.
Yeah.
Whatever like California does, Maryland follows. And then once that happens, it trickles down. Yep. And it trickles down through the southeast, and then it goes right back up northwest.
Yep.
And that's what happens, man. It's like if you look at it, like if you go back in history and you look at the laws, you'll find the traces.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, same thing with Nevada. It didn't used to be, but it now it's gotten to the point where what California does, Nevada is starting to follow, and it's just gotten so bad that it makes you want to get out of the industry sometimes. I mean, sometimes you're just like, all the fun has been stripped out of it because of the overregulation. At any given moment, I'm dealing with something with the building department, or you know what I mean? And it's just silly stuff and all it takes is them just to say one little thing and it costs you $2,000, you know, and you're just like going, I just want to finish this job.
Yeah, right. please, can I finish? Just
like, it's 100 feet of fence. Can I just move on? Finish. Right.
All right.
This should take one day, not a whole month.
Right. And they got to the point where you're supposed to go out there and dig your holes along a sidewalk and leave. you can't cover them up because you call in for your, you have to do a footing inspection, and I'm the one that helped get some of this waived for residential. You have to call a footing inspection, and then they might come any time between before noon tomorrow, and you can't set your post until they inspect the holes. But by the way, you can't cover the holes because they won't lift anything to look at the hole to see if it's deep enough. So you have to have someone sit out there to lift a piece of wood up so he could put a tape in. And if you're gone, he'll fail it because they couldn't access the holes or something. And then meanwhile, what are you supposed to leave all these holes along a sidewalk for someone to step in?
Yeah, right.
That seems counterproductive.
Now it's you're like, liable for somebody's ACL being torn.
Yeah, it's counterproductive when we want to do this because we want to make sure that these fences are safe and regulated and whatever. But we're going to leave these giant holes in the ground for something somebody to fall in or like a kid to like running away from mom. And then like... Right whole leg goes in there and now we got a lawsuit.
And people tell you, they're like, oh, well, if we don't do it, if we don't give them the standards and we don't tell them what we want, they're just going to create them themselves. It's going to be worse. And I'm like, so International Building Code exempts fences up to 7 feet, by the way. It was wrote in there that fences shouldn't require permits up to 7 feet. That includes gates, by the way, gates and mm-hmm. fences are the same in that. So it says exempt. So you're telling me some senator in Nevada or somewhere else is going to spend 6 months to a year to learn everything he can about fence so he could create a standard for a fence that the International Building Code said was exempt? No, they're not. Right. They are not going to create standards for us. So why are we handing them standards? Right? Why are we giving them standards?
Right? There should be no reason for that.
It's definitely we should never.
They're never going to create them for us. I don't. And that's just smoke that people say when they, you know, because they're trying to push them and they're trying to convince you that you should support it with them. But no way you're going to convince me that the government is all of a sudden became unlazy and is now doing extra work for no reason at all. Come on.
Right. All of a sudden.
They want to learn about fencing. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. They're going to put a committee together to learn about fence.
Yeah.
So that they can create a standard, the government.
Yeah. I doubt that.
At the end of the day, it's a fence.
Yeah, it's a fence.
That's what we talk about all the time.
He tells me that, I swear to God, he tells me that like at least once a week. At the end of the day, dude, it's a fence.
It's not a cabinet
in some million dollar house.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I say it all the time.
I know we as fencers glorify it, but at the end of the day, a fence is a fence is a fence.
Yeah.
It's a fence.
Yeah.
Like it's not rocket science. It's not going to hold up your home. We all know that. It's a fence.
It's to keep the nosy Karens outside, from peeking in your property.
Do the best we can.
At the very most.
I think we need to do the best we can to build the best fence we can and take care of our customers. And, you know, what one customer thinks is a good fence is different than what another customer thinks is a good fence.
Absolutely right.
100%.
And in the residential world, that speaks major volumes because, man, you get one person that has a below subpar quality fence and they think it's just the best thing. They go tell all of their neighbors, like, look at this awesome fence. And like, we as fencers are like, oh my God, this is a train wreck. Yeah. But yet they're out advertising for free for this horrible
one
fence.
Person.
But you got like six jobs for this customer.
And it's like, there's nothing that you can do, but just like, okay.
Like, look at my new fence, # best fence in the world. And it's like two rail on a 6 foot tall fence, and it's just a roller coaster.
It was so crappy. You fired that installer the next day.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't work for you anymore.
Absolutely. Oh man. But you know, I mean, that's how it is in the residential world, you know? So you just kind of got to deal with it and education at the end of the day.
But maybe they're happy because they got a fence for $3,000 and everybody else, but it wasn't as good as the $6,000 fence, but they were just happy. They got this $3,000 fence. It wasn't as good a quality wood. It wasn't, you know what I mean? It had smaller posts, it had everything, but they can let their dog out the backyard. They don't have to walk them on a leash every morning. So they're just this to them. This is the best fence they've ever had.
That's right. Kind of the fine line of residential is, quality over price and fitting to your customer's needs. You may be the best fencer in the whole world, but with good quality does come good cost. And at the same time, like, you can get, you know, Joe Blow down the road to build the absolute worst thing, but undercut you tenfold.
But if it works, it works.
And if it works, it works. And they're happy. And then they're like, oh, yeah, here's best fence in the world. And anyone and their grandma knows that, like, that kind of looks like trash. But but they're ranting and raving about
trash,
it.
Though.
And it's cheap trash.
You got that one fence or that it's gate McDonald's. That you know you put in, and you're like, I know they're going to call back. There's no way that thing, something's going to happen, right? And then you never hear from them again. And you're like, I don't understand. I mean, and then every once in a while you drive by, you're like, son of a bitch, it's still up. Go figure. Yeah,
that's like, that would be my first fence that I ever built. That would be one of still those. Up. I drive by that thing almost every single day, and I'm like, I cannot believe that thing is still up. It's still up. That. It's still standing. The gate still works. I'm like, I'm just amazed.
There's six kids swinging on the gate.
Because I will tell you what, I did every trick in the book wrong on that one.
Yep.
Like, every single one wrong.
Like, if I only knew what I knew then, I know now, that would never exist. It is the bane of my existence.
All right, man. Well, I hate to get on to another question, but can you give us a little insight on what 2024's got in store for the FWA?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're into it now. I mean, to me, I think I'm already working on 2025. So, yeah. I mean, to me, in my head, 2024 is already done. I mean, it's a wrap.
Yeah,
right? That's it.
But 2024 is going to be, you're going to see a lot more rollout on the Fence University education stuff. Like, this week I'm at, I'll be doing the CES show and the Consumer Electronics Show. If you heard anything about that.
No way.
I saw that.
It's one of the bigger electronic shows in Las Vegas. So I'll be walking that for the next 3 days. Brooks will be in town tonight. In fact, I got to pick him up at the airport, I think at 9.
Nice.
So, so he'll be walking that with me for 3 days, and he'll be staying until the end of the month, because we also, not only do we have a booth at Fence Tech, we have a booth at World of Concrete.
I saw that as well. That is a, that is a cool show. I've seen a whole lot of experts on, clips from their passion. Yeah.
Excerpts.
Yeah, but I've seen a lot of clips from their past shows, and man, they got some cool stuff there, man. Like they really do. Oh, they have a lot of cool shit there, and I'm excited to see your pictures. I'm excited to see what they have to offer for 2024.
The CES, that is one of my things. Is like, you know, being the nerd I am, if you will, crafting robotics team in high school. Like, CES is like my passion to go to one day.
Yeah, you still got time. Get your butt down to the airport.
Oh, it's way too soon of a call for financial to just hop on a plane.
Let's go, baby. Vegas. Jet setters.
You know the place. You can sleep at my office, man. Don't tell me you haven't slept in the office before.
Don't.
Right? You know what I mean? We're fences.
Don't tempt me with a good time, buddy. Trucks,
offices. We don't care.
Yeah, I'll stay out there, and it doesn't matter if you got AC. Open up the bay doors.
Kitchenette in the office. That's more than any of us have had at one point.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
You got a kitchenette in there. We fine dining, baby.
Hell yeah, baby.
You saw that clubhouse thing I'm making. I'm going to turn this into our clubhouse.
Nice. I love it. That's awesome.
Clubhouse. Nice. But so World of Concrete. The reason we're doing that is we really want to see our industry expand, not just the same show every time. So I want to see and bring the stuff that we use every day. I mean, there's a lot of tools, a lot of equipment stuff on our trucks, the Milwaukee, Hilti, DeWalt, all these, and not just, it goes even beyond that, obviously, some of the other equipment and stuff. Wouldn't it be nice to actually have them have some booths at our shows and be able to communicate and have a little better relationship with the reps and see some of the new products and have them, start giving our industry some demo equipment and stuff for you guys to try and things like that. So at Lowe's, Home Depot, get all these guys interactive. And then we want to get the masonry guys more involved. The concrete landscapers are pretty big in our industry well. So let's figure out how we can grow it. And I think this is going to bring on some new exhibitors. As much as I want to go to Fence Tech myself, we're going to have a booth there. And we'll be, we'll still be handing out shirts and hats and, some
beans. You're not coming.
Yeah, I'm not going to be going. I can't, because it's the exact same days. It's the exact same days.
All right.
So
I got you.
And as much as I want to, because it's, but it's, I guess, you know, I know everybody there already to
right.
agree. So
right. it's, I mean, I can completely agree with that.
100%. Yeah. And now's my chance to try to go out and find some new people and help. So I got to sacrifice that and say, otherwise I'm going to put people at this show here in Las Vegas that won't have the same passion to find. I mean, they're all passionate, but they won't have the same passion to go out and really push to bring new people to our show.
It's not Brian.
Yeah. With me being there, it's going to be a little bit more of a push for these guys to come to our show in September.
Heck so, yeah, man. Anyways, I love it.
So we got that. And then you're going to see, like I said, come March, you're going to see us start rolling out a lot of the education stuff and really kind of pushing hard on that. And then we're working on still the investment stuff. So hopefully that stuff gets worked out here pretty soon where you'll be able to have it's not stuff you can't find yourself. We're just going to try to streamline it and make it easier so that we can understand it and everybody. Our goal is to find these people starting out or even at our age. You know, if we can start doing, we'll have to be more aggressive now, but you know, imagine if we did it when we were 20, right?
Right.
And 20 to 23 starting out in the industry. Imagine if we were tucking away $100 a month or something, you know, and mm-hmm. I can't give investment advice. I was horrible. I was that guy that didn't save nothing. You know what I mean? So now I got to invest more aggressively or try, you know, take more risks. But anyway, so that, and then I think that, you know, then our show, obviously we're doing that. And then next year we're preparing for two shows in 2025, the security show. If you go to securityshow.com, you can see that one, just like fenceshow.com. We're going to really step up the game on access controls, security. There's no reason that all of us aren't learning audiovisual stuff. We're not doing, you know, some of the, you know, some of the other stuff when it comes down to doing security cameras and things like that. We're already out there. We did all the hard work. What if we can, in an extra day on the project, make the same as we made all week on the fence?
Oh, dude. And that stuff's cakework, man. I come from a background of being a lead comm tech, and I've done fingerprint scanners. I've done retina eye scanners. Oh, dude.
I didn't even know that about you.
Really?
We got a podcast together and I didn't know that about you.
I could have swore I've told you about this.
I want in on that one.
Yeah, man.
Let's do one on that. Yeah.
So I've done key card access scanners. I've done retina eye scanners. And that's just the install. That's not me having somebody scan their eye. That's just me.
Okay.
That's just me putting it up.
Making it a thing.
Yeah. And then like the IT guy.
Going back and doing all the.
Comes and sets it up. That's just me like installing it. Like I did that up in DC from the time my kid was born for 3 years afterwards. So I did it for about 3.5 years. I worked at the National Institute of Health, which is the location of the FDA. I installed all of their perimeter fire alarm stuff. For their entire perimeter fence, I installed a shake barrier. So if you go up and like anybody tries to climb the fence or shake it, all of the cameras automatically turn towards where it's being shaken. And then it like follows you and like thermal. Dude, that stuff is literally, you are absolutely right. It is hand in hand with automation control because it's all low voltage. Like it's all 12 volt low voltage stuff. So
Once you learn the basics, that everything hooks up the same. Almost, you've got a power supply and a relay. If you can learn about the power supplies and the relays, you've got it in the back. I mean, then it's just a matter of figuring out where everything is on different equipment and stuff. And we're in April. Something you might be interested in. We're going to be doing the IP networking.
Okay.
Quick start. So the only thing that's changed probably since you and I were doing it and all of us were doing it is a lot more networking stuff. It's a lot more
absolutely.
Well, you know, it's changed a lot from that aspect of it. But the core hardware, when it comes to how you hook stuff up, it, you know, that hasn't changed a lot other than we've got some monitored safety devices now. So once you figure out how that stuff works, you know, when I started, there was no monitored safety devices. You could just, you know, it worked out of the box and, you know, you'd hook your safety devices up, but if one broke, it still worked. So the only nice thing about that back then was, I think it's helped a lot since UL has made all the, you know, not made, but it's since they've started making them the operators UL where they require the monitored safety devices, cause that saved a lot of lives. But before then, if a gate stopped working, a photo eye was bad, and you got an emergency service call from an apartment complex or something, you could just disconnect the eye for the night, and they'd use the loops in the other eye, and at least it would still work.
Right.
Now everything's an emergency. Everything's an emergency, right?
It's got to get done right now.
Yeah, and now you gotta fix it. I don't care if you're tired and your wife is yelling at you on the phone and you're supposed to have been home 2 hours ago. You have to fix it. There's no more disconnecting something.
Oh, yeah, man. There's no more I'll be home in a couple minutes. It's like, no, I have to go do this right now.
Yeah, I got it working for you and I'll be back in the morning. No, now it's going to take you 2-3 hours. You got to do it. So, yeah. Right. So hopefully we can all work together and figure out how we can do some extra revenue streams for people. And I think I spent a lot of time when I was in Mexico recently for a little vacation for the holiday. And I spent a lot of time thinking, you know what problems do we need to solve? And I'm thinking, man, as I'm listening to everybody that's sitting at home and some people are driving snowplows, some people are doing other stuff in our fencing niche because it's wintertime, right? In a lot of the country where it shuts down. I'm thinking, man, one of the problems we have to solve is how do we keep fencers in the fence industry and they don't go get other jobs? You know, because all of a sudden there's 4 months, 3 months they can't work. So if we could come up with a way to create a revenue stream for fencers to where, you know, they can, their passion, kind of, we're talking about our passions, their passion is this company, right? And they're, you know, how do we get it to where they don't have to have that other secondary job? And, you know, they can stay busy all year long. So I think that's what I'm going to be kind of working on this year.
Heck yeah, man.
I like that.
I love it. I love it all. I mean, I'm super excited to go to Fence Tech, super excited to go to your show in September.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
We'll get you guys. We got to get you guys. We got a media booth too. So now that you guys got your show, we'll have to get you in there.
All right. Hey,
yeah.
Let's do it, baby. Yeah.
Very good idea.
Yeah, we'll figure out how to get you guys set up so you guys can do a podcast from there.
Okay. Heck yeah, man. I'm down.
We got
it.
Everything we need.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right here.
Oh, yeah, man. We got mixers,
mobile,
microphones,
portable, everything. So. Yeah. We have put a lot into making sure that this all works out and we can spread the news because it is something that that we are passionate about. And the same thing is like your passions kind of take over and they just, and we want to spread that knowledge, spread that wealth that we have learned, if you will.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm going to use my guys as test subjects. I'm going to turn these fencers into gate installers using the programs we're developing. So,
there's nothing wrong with that.
I like that.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm going to use all the stuff that we're setting up here with Brooks and Keith and everybody coming into town. And we're going to set up these programs and we have a facility here. We're going to be doing it. We're going to have it permanently set up for this training. And we're going to test it out on our very own guys, you know.
There we go.
And have them come in. And I'm going to turn every one of them into service techs.
There we go. There we go.
Just, man.
Until we have a proven system so that everybody can do both, you know, fence and gates.
Love it. I love it.
Good. I like it. And especially with the automation side, I kind of hopped into it willy-nilly on like one thing. And I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And then I started looking at the circuit board, like the little program board. And I was like, well, that says this. It's kind of all pretty simple for the most part. But there is a lot of times that I was like an hour on the phone with the IT and tech support for Liftmaster or whoever. And it's like, I have no idea what I'm doing, bud. You're my saving grace right now, buddy boy.
There was a guy named Ray, American Access. I got American Access out of San Diego, and I learned everything I know about troubleshooting. He was a smaller distributor. I think Control Products ended up buying him. And he went over there. I learned everything almost I know from this guy would answer the phone. He owned the company down there, and he would troubleshoot stuff with me over the phone. And that's how I learned. We're talking a long, long time ago. So we have a lot of great companies out there with resources that hopefully we get them involved in this. Like, I mean, even the manufacturers, you take Liftmaster, Door King, Control Products, SAS, All-O-Matic, all these guys have these training programs and they're willing to come set things up. So I'm hoping I can have a permanent location set up for them to where you guys will be able to come in. And if you want to spend that 2 days or a week and learn all these different systems in a controlled environment, hopefully we can set it up to where it's just, and it's in a cost-effective place. So right across the street, you know, you got $65 rooms. It's kind of becomes a no-brainer. So hopefully we can figure that out. And like you were saying, roll it out to other states once we figure it out.
I love it.
I like that.
I love it.
Awesome, awesome, awesome to hear kind of what you got in the works. It's really inspiring, to say the least, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Very much so. Very much so. And hey, with that said, Brian, we are going to end the show. And we cannot thank you enough for coming on and giving us your undivided attention for an hour and 5 minutes.
100%.
Loved every single minute of it, and would love to have you back. With that being said, we look forward to seeing you in September in person, because we will both be there. Cool. But just go ahead and... we're going to drop your socials again for everybody. Guys, go ahead. We got the F. Yep.
We've had that running across the bottom there for everybody watching.
Fence Workers Association.
But we'll throw up the Facebook.
Facebook page as well.
/Fence Workers Association if you want to join the FWA.
And then join the FWA, guys.
Join FWA.
Like, go ahead and just let's make this movement as big as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate it. I mean, this wasn't too bad of an interview. I'm not going to lie. I thought this was going to be a Grey's Anatomy watch party. I thought that's what you told me. So it turned into an interview. I don't know, man. You know, are we still going to watch Grey's Anatomy?
Oh, you know, man.
Maybe later. What? We'll do that. We'll do that.
Maybe off later. Alive. Maybe later. Yeah. Off the live.
I'll call you up personally for the Zoom when I get back to the house.
Yeah, right. I'll throw it up on the TV. Hey, man, can we do a Netflix watch party now?
Yeah.
There we go.
A Barbie watch party. How many people we can get to watch it with us?
There we go.
That's a good one. That's a good one. It's on HBO now.
Yeah.
It's on HBO now.
Heck yeah, man.
But yeah. If you guys do want to join the FWA, it is joinfwa.com. It's
please. Yeah.
That's simple.
That gives us a lot of credibility when I'm talking to these larger companies to get us resources. You know, when they ask, hey, how many members do you have? What's your reach across the United States? Those numbers are big. It is a big deal, even though it may just seem like, hey, a free membership for one of you guys. It's a big deal to us. So we appreciate all the support. Anybody that wants to go to joinfwa.com and just, you know, jump on a free membership or get a business membership or become a sponsor, even better, you know, but either way, we're happy and everybody gets treated the same no matter what.
And we discussed this in a previous episode. The FWA also has the women of FWA, where it's not just for the people installing the fence, but the wives or girlfriends or significant others, or if there are women, you know, installing the fences, whichever way it may be, if your
office
husband
staff. Yeah, admin staff,
admin HR, anything, or if you're a husband of a woman who's installing a fence, like, join. Dude, anybody and their family members and everybody related to the world of fencing in general, just join. What do you
really
got to lose?
Strong group of gals. I mean, they have taken that to a whole nother level. I mean, I was on their show today. I don't know if you watched it.
I did. I did. Yeah. I was like, hey, man, you're just going to be live all night, aren't you?
I know. Yeah. It's been a long night. I've been doing this since like 3:30. 3 o'clock. Yeah. But I wanted to go on there. We were discussing some stuff. Go back and watch some of those. I think we were talking about how we're I was drunk, so I don't remember. But yeah, so no, but we were talking about how we different ways how we bid the projects and stuff. So it's pretty interesting. If you're curious about how we do it from Wyoming to Las Vegas, at least you get a little insight on that.
And for the people watching and listening, where can they find that at?
That's a good question. Just go to my page. I streamed it on there.
Yeah, I was about to say it was live on his page.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Fence Industry Only page, it was live on there. And then they've got all of their social media stuff. So Women of FWA.
Gotcha.
Pretty much just search Women of FWA, and it should start popping up.
All right. Easy enough, man. Well, again, bro, we thank you so much. I am looking so forward to meeting you in September.
Yeah. Yep.
And with that said, brother. You have a wonderful night.
Good one, you guys.
Right back. Thanks for having me. We greatly appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure.
Again, it has been an absolute honor to have you on our show. For what you're doing for everybody and what we're doing for everybody, you take the cake, dude. We're just trying to spread some information, and you're out here like making moves. And
I'm just trying to get the installers up up to par. And not just that, but just give them, shed some light on the installers.
Yeah. Raise the industry standard and
shed some light on the people that are making these millions of dollars for these one head, two head operations that we all see and know, but yet nobody sees the background of it. Yeah. That is the basis of this podcast.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing here.
Exactly. Cool. And you have, by far superior, you are way superior to us in doing the same exact thing we're trying to do. So it's an honor having you on the podcast.
Absolutely.
You have created the same platform we are attempting to create one day.
I'm just too shy to do it live all the time like you guys. So I'm going to, I'm with you. I gotta go see if my wife's still talking to me since I locked myself in my office.
Oh, Yadira, don't be too mad at him, Yadira.
Don't be mad at him.
All right, sir. Well, we will see you next time. Thank you again.
Take it easy, sir.
And you have a wonderful night.
You got it.
Take care, Brian.
Well,
a lot of knowledge. As well, guys.
We do have to do a quick thing. Guys, if you are going to be donating to Justin's cause, I did get a quick message from my sister. If you are going to be donating to the link for Justin Seckinger's cancer cause, please put in the memo line Justin Seckinger, and that is Seckinger. Please put in the memo line Justin Seckinger. All of the proceeds again are 100% going towards yes sir, that is how you spell it. All of the proceeds are going to 100% him and his family. Again, he is a local fence contractor here in the same city that we are. It is my my brother-in-law's best friend.
Spelling is down below.
He got diagnosed with advanced colon cancer that has spread to his lungs and his liver. And, I don't normally do this. We don't normally do this. But from fencer to fencer, if you can give a dollar, it's going to go a long way to help him. This is going to be a fight. That's not going to be a quick one battle. But I just did just get that message to make sure you notate that if you do want to donate, to just put in the memo box, Justin Seckinger.
Spell that one more time for everybody.
Seckinger.
And Justin, Justin, standard. And it will be down below in the actually,
we got Dan doing it right now.
Putting it right now
in the description.
Copy. All right. I'm putting the name and the spelling and everything down below in the description. So that way you guys make sure you have a copy and paste.
Go ahead and put the memo on there. Yeah. Just right below it, just put memo.
Sorry, guys. We're working this out as we go.
There we go. Type Justin Seckinger. Well, guys, I'm going to take this time to go ahead and shout out our merch store. I have this awesome beer glass right here that is almost empty of beer, but as you see, look at that, man, look at that. It is just absolutely beautiful. This is not a sticker.
These are directly printed on there.
Directly printed on there.
And perfect timing, actually, because we just ordered our batch of test prints and they came in today.
Of the stickers?
No, of the mugs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These literally just came in today.
Oh, heck yeah. So
perfect timing for our first test batch of the limited release.
So that's what they look like, guys. Just like that. They're pretty badass. I'm not going to lie to you. But if you want one, gatekeeperpodcast.com, hit the merch store. And with that, Dan, take us out.
Hey, man, for everything Gatekeeper Podcast, you can find us at gatekeeperpodcast.com. And for everything fencing, man, build them strong, build them straight, and build them sturdy.